The words of God given to us this morning is from John chapter 16, verses 31 to verses 33. I will read the words. "Do you now believe?" Jesus replied. "A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Amen. 2023 has begun. May the grace of our Lord be abundantly with our families and our workplaces this year also. We call the new year 2023 that just began as a new year. But it is not as if there is a line that separates 2022 from 2023. And there is no upward steps that we step on to get to 2023 from 2022. In that respect, there is no new year. A new year does not come just by changing the calendar. And the new year does not come because the number that represents our age has increased by one. In sum, the new year is not given automatically as a result of the passing of the times, or it is not something which is given from outside. In the Psalms, the phrase, "Sing to the Lord a new song," is repeatedly stated. And this phrase is also found in the Revelation. Then what song would be a new song? If it is a song that was composed within the past 3 years, or within 2 years or 1 year, or if the lyric was composed only 3 months ago, but if the melody was composed 30 years ago, would the song be a new song or an old song? A new song that the Bible talks about has nothing to do with the date on which the song was composed. Even if we were to sing a song which was made a few days ago or even today and offer it to God, such song could fail to be a new song and God may not accept it. So a new song has to do with the person who is singing it, rather than with the song itself. A new song is a song which is sung with a new heart by a person who is grateful that God has created him or her and guides him or her every day. If I become a new person, then whatever song that I sing becomes a new song. On the other hand, if I become an old person, whatever song that I sing will become an old song. And this is true for the new year. A new year is a result or a fruit given to a person who daily lives a new life. Our present is a result and the fruit of our past. If our present does not feel to us as meaningful and valuable, then it is the same as saying that we had lived our prior days as old days and old year. On the other hand, if our present feels to us as meaningful and valuable, and we deeply feel God's grace, then it is the same as if we had lived our prior days, each day is a new day, Each year is a new year. Furthermore, what result our future will be revealed as, what fruits will appear in our future, will depend on how we live our lives today. Then we can then question whether there is any meaning to calling today, January 1st, 2023, as a New Year's Day, if a new year does not come by changing our calendar. And if we have to live a life of a new person in order for the new year to come. But even if the sun that has risen today is no different than the sun that rose yesterday morning, there are two reasons that give sufficient meaning and importance to January 1st that we call the New Year's Day. First, we can start with the new heart because there is a new year. When the last month of the year comes around, we experience more regret and self-blaming than feeling deeply moved or feeling a great sense of worthwhileness. In that respect, a new beginning and an ending that starts with the new year is like grace from God who makes us grow and mature. It's like the reason why a bamboo tree, despite its thinness, is able to grow tall and not break because it grows new joints every 25 to 45 centimeters. And if there were no opportunity, like a new year, and we just lived the whole 80 years, which is the life expectancy of people living in Korea, how ordinary and maybe even lazy our lives would become. From such perspective, to allow us to begin anew every 365 days is like grace of God that adds depth and width to our lives. It's like the first and the second half in soccer, or how volleyball, badminton, and tennis are played in sets, so that even if you are behind and lose in the earlier set, you can start the second half or the latter set with a new resolve and reverse the score. Second, and far more important, a new year can only be given by God. The Bible declares that there is nothing new under the sun. This is from This is from the chapter 1, verses 9 to 10 of Ecclesiastes. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already long ago. It was here before our time. That there is nothing new under the sun are the words of Creator God who made us. Therefore, trying to find a new thing under the sun is not wise and is bound to fail. A new thing is only above the sun. Therefore, God, who is able to make all things new, is the being who can make our life, which is like an old year, to a completely new year. The four Gospels are the records of Jesus' life, but they are not recorded chronologically because they are the records of Jesus' life. The four Gospels record the birth of Jesus and the 3 years of his public ministry. And in terms of his public ministry, they focus on Jesus taking on the cross because that is the purpose for which he came to this earth and the most important event that has occurred for our salvation. The revelation emphasizes Jesus Christ, who has resurrected Christ, who is God. Even so, it refers to Jesus as the Lamb who has been slain. Jesus Christ, who is on the cross, and the cross of Jesus Christ is in force until the Lord comes again. The book of Matthew, which is made up of 28 chapters, records a time when Jesus came to Jerusalem to take on the cross in chapter 21. The book of Mark, which is made up of 16 chapters, records that time in chapter 11. And the book of Luke, which is made up of 24 chapters, records the time that Jesus came up to Jerusalem to take on the cross in chapter 19. The book of John, which is made up of 21 chapters, records the time when Jesus came up to Jerusalem in chapter 12. And the time when Jesus had the Last Supper with disciples is recorded in chapter 13. Jesus, after the Last Supper with the disciples, prayed at Gethsemane until his sweat flowed like blood drops. He was arrested by soldiers and were questioned. And so the book of John emphasizes the passion and resurrection of Jesus. And these chapters are called the Attic Exposition. The words recorded in these chapters are like the last words and testaments that Jesus left to his disciples before he took on the cross. The chapter 17 actually records a prayer that Jesus prayed for his disciples, so the Attic Exposition itself actually ends in chapter 16. So today's text can be said to be the conclusion of the Attic Exposition, the conclusion of Jesus' last will and testimony. A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone. Facing the cross, Jesus spent his last supper with his disciples and washed each of their feet. And he ate with them. The food they shared was not simply food, but Jesus Christ himself, who had come as the bread of eternal life. The supper was not just an evening meal, but was a communion. After the meal, Jesus spoke at length with great sincerity, with all his heart. But the disciples were thinking something else. Of course, the disciples confessed that they will be with Jesus. In particular, Peter confessed his firm resolve. Lord, I have resolved to go with you to prison, to the place of death. The disciples confidently looked as if they would always be with the Lord and would go with him anywhere. But Jesus did not fail to know that their expressions were like roses of betrayal. Jesus shared his life with his disciples for 3 years and loved them. He knew, although, that they would abandon him and he would be left alone. What deep sense of betrayal he must have felt when he saw their backs turned to him. How hateful and empty the confessions must have sounded to him when the disciples confessed that they would never leave him, would even go to a place of death. And how lonely the Lord must have felt in seeing his disciples behave as they did. But in such circumstances, Jesus said the following. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. Jesus knew that his disciples would all leave and he would be left alone. But even so, Jesus did not give up by falling into a pit of loneliness or complete solitude. He did not shake in anger towards the disciples who were bound to leave him. Actually, the Lord was not lonely at all. Because even if the disciples are left and he was left alone, he knew that God the Father would be with him. In the Bible, when people were left alone by themselves, when people have went away from them, they have counted it as the best time to have a deep encounter with God. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who gave you birth. When I called him, he was only one man, and I blessed him and made him many. This is from Isaiah chapter 51, verse 2. God called Abraham, who was living in Haran, and told him, "Leave your country, your kindred, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you." Abraham was already married and had a wife. He had siblings and family, and he also had considerable wealth. But still, God says that he called him when he was only one man. This signifies that although Abraham was surrounded by many people, there were holes in his life that relationships with others could not fill. And even if he had much wealth, there were also holes in his life that his many possessions could not fill. This existential loneliness he had served as a pathway that made him immediately obey the calling of God. And Apostle Paul confessed as follows. This is from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. "At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May not be held against them." 2 Timothy is the last letter written by Apostle Paul, so it is called Paul's Last Will and Testament. Wherever Paul went, there were people who followed him. But when Paul was arrested and stood trial, they all abandoned him and ran away. When Paul actually needed help, people turned away from him. But even so, Paul does not blame them or criticize them, and he prays that what they did will not count against them. How could such attitude of faith be possible? The next verse, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17, reads as follows. "But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it, and I was delivered from the lion's mouth." It was possible for Paul, because although Paul was betrayed and shunned by people, the Lord was with him and gave him strength. At times, utter solitude or deep loneliness can come to us too. But that is the time of grace to have encountered God who walks with us. If we have a lot and have many entitlements so that we do not feel lonely or lonesome, even when we are not with God, then perhaps it's not a blessing but a punishment. We will feel eternal loneliness and aloneness after we breathe out our last. When Jesus had this Last Supper with his disciples, the emperor of Rome was Tiberius. He was the second emperor who succeeded Augustus. In B.C. 44, Julius Caesar was murdered by Brutus Antonius, Antonius, who was a general closest to Caesar, thought that he would become the successor. But Caesar made Octavianus, who was his stepson and 18 years old, as his successor. In BC 31, Octavianus defeated the army of Antony and Cleopatra, and Rome at last became united. After that, Octavianus received the title of Augustus from the Senate, and he became the first emperor of the Roman Empire. During the 200 years that started with his reign, the security at peripheries of Rome was strong. There were no invasions by other countries. The domestic security was established so that trades flourished. Many cities thrived in the empire, enjoyed peace. So later, these 200 years came to be called as Pax Romana. Tiberius was a stepson of Augustus and became an emperor. At this time, the land occupied the Roman Empire consisted of not only all of Europe, but included North Africa, Egypt, Palestine, even Persia. Roman Empire seemed like it was going to last forever. The Roman Empire seemed like it was going on for eternity, and it was more difficult to imagine it being other than for us to imagine that the United States or China becoming weaker and weaker and finally breaking up into 50 countries and 34 separate countries, respectively. But now that 2,000 years have passed, where is Roman Empire that seemed it would never face a decline and last forever? Peace that men speak of, the victories that men speak of, can never last forever or remain true. What is finite cannot promise what is eternal. And therefore the expression enjoying being at the prime is also the same as saying the decline has now started. Therefore, even if a person has won a victory at something, the person does not enjoy peace. Bigger the victory, the greater the loss if such victory is gone. It is human nature to feel anxious and try to hold on to the victory. But Jesus talks about true peace and eternal victory. This is from verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Jesus, as he had his last supper with his disciples, at the end of his sayings, which were like his last will and testament, said, I said these things to you so that you will receive peace within me. Jesus did not talk about ways to get rich or healthy with his disciples. He promised that they would receive peace in him. He made this promise because we are inherently fearful and anxious beings, and because we face troubles in the world. If we study the words of this verse 33 in Greek carefully, what is emphasized is the preposition en, which means within something or someone. The verse, therefore, is saying with emphasis, within me, the Lord, there is peace, and within the world, there are troubles. It is never the case that because we are children of God, because we are Christians who follow the Lord, the troubles bypass us. We can have troubles of our bodies getting hurt, of getting ill, or have troubles in the form of financial hardships, or go through troubles in the form of broken relationships. Of course, two or three of them can come to us at once. And it is possible that we run into a greater trouble than people who live according to worldly values, although we try to live in obedience to God. But so that we can enjoy peace that cannot be destroyed by whatever great troubles in the world, peace that cannot be broken, Jesus speaks to us now. Jesus tells us how we can give such peace as follows. I will read verse 33 again. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. The reason the Lord can give us peace that the world cannot give, the eternal peace which the world cannot destroy, is because the Lord is someone who overcame the world. What has the Lord overcome? The Lord overcame the power of death that reigns in the world, and the power of sin that blocks us from escaping from the worldly values. The Lord, by taking on all sins of mankind, by dying on the cross and bleeding the blood of atonement, and living again in 3 days, became the eternal victor. Therefore, no matter what troubles we face in the world, we can enjoy eternal peace in the Lord. Because as long as we are within Him, the Lord's victory is our victory. So the Lord says this, "Take heart, I have overcome the world." The word "take heart" comes from the word "courage." And it means having courage or not being afraid. When we are in the Lord, we can always have courage and not be afraid. But on the other hand, if we are outside of the Lord, when we are in the world, then we can always lose heart and be captivated by fear. The reason that we Christians, can always be courageous as we live in the world, regardless of circumstances, is because we are people who have already won in the world, in the Lord. Based on these words, our church motto for this year has been decided as, "I have overcome." During the past 2022, the world, including our nation, suffered many troubles. In February of last year, Russia invaded Ukraine. In the beginning, it was expected that the war would last a mere week, 2 weeks at the maximum. But it is continuing now, 10 months later. Because of this war, several millions became refugees, and the energy and food prices have skyrocketed. And when the United States raised interest rates 7 times, other nations followed suit. And as a result, the capital markets of the world is being shaken. Not only these economic troubles, but climate change is threatening the survival of men. The United States suffered chaos because of extreme cold and snowstorms. In China, due to aberrant temperature, the surface temperature of the earth rose as high as 74 degrees and caused a transformer to blow up. The United States and China are respectively nations that compete as the world's greatest superpowers, and yet they cannot prevent or restrain such natural disasters. And in Iran, over 200 people lost their lives by protesting the wearing of hijab by women. In our country, too many people suffered because of sudden rise in real estate prices over the years, and now many are suffering because of a sudden fall in real estate prices. Continuing rise in interest rates are burdening many people. The collapse in value of cryptocurrency and coins and stocks have added to people's worries. Most of all, the corona pandemic, which continued for the past 3 years, has not yet ended, so that uncertain future will continue into the year 2023. But let us reflect quietly. Our society was extremely chaotic during Japanese occupation after the liberation. And there were numerous moments of crisis in our country, such as the Korean War, 419 uprising, 516 military coup, 1026 assassination of President Park, 629 Democracy Declaration, IMF, and the financial crisis of 2008. But even through such times, has God not made Korea the only country that provides aids to other nations after having been a country that received aids from others? And has not God made our nation stand out in terms of faith and culture in the world? If so, then we can be confident, as if we're looking at a blazing fire, that even if the troubles seem to have filled the present, even if small and great problems have become so entangled that a resolution seems impossible, the Lord who has declared, "I have overcome the world," will make our nation overcome as well. And so it is the same for our families and each of us. It is possible that a problem occurs with our health so that we can become ill during the year. It is possible to close the business that we newly started. We can suffer a great financial setback because we lose our jobs. We may not pass the test that we wanted to pass and fall short of a goal in doing something. But let us honestly look back on our past. Isn't it the truth that we have come to regard the Lord more clearly because we had problems with our health or because we were not able to go wherever we had wanted? And isn't it the case that we have come to discern more correctly what is more important than lasting because we had to go through economic hardships and had to drink the cup of failure? And so wasn't it the case that because of troubles in life that has not been easy, we were able to encounter God who makes all things work together for the good and clearly felt the hands of mysterious providence of the Lord? If so, then, no matter what life is ahead of us, and although we do not know what shape troubles will take on, we can take heart. And within the Lord who has declared that he has overcome the world, we can also overcome and receive grace in him. So the Lord, on this first day of 2023, at this hour of first Sunday of the year, the Lord says to each of us, "In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." God, our Father, we thank you that you have trusted us and allowed us to greet the new year with you. Help us not to forget that a new year does not come by hanging up a new calendar or because January 1st has come. Allow us to live a new life by always dwelling in the Lord's grace so that our life will be cultivated into a new year. Thank you for giving us our church the motto, "I have overcome," for this year, 2023. There is always troubles in the world. Corona pandemic, which continued for the past 3 years, has not ended, and new variants keep coming. The war that started with Russia invading Ukraine is continuing, and natural disasters are happening in many different places of the world. All kinds of problems, rising interest rates, collapse in real estate prices, a steep fall in cryptocurrency and stocks, economic recession, inflation are continuing. Our nation also stands in the midst of these problems. So when we look around, everything looks hopeless. But the reason we are able to greet 2023 with hope is because we are Christians who believe in and follow the Lord who has declared, "I have overcome." As we start the new year, allow us to be with the Lord at all times, anywhere, at places you have placed us. Although our lives may not be easy, allow us to follow after your words and accompany the Lord within him. Raise up our families and our workplaces and our society through us who do so at Pathways. And so may this year be cultivated as genuine new year. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.